So now I just want to invite my dad, come on up, our senior leader, David Crone.
Good morning, Ryan. Good morning, church. Man, I miss you. It's good to be with you here this morning in this way, because this is about the only way we can do it right now. But I so miss being with you and hugging you. The day will come pretty soon when we can hug maybe from 6 feet away. I don't know. We'll still have to figure that out. But we're just so excited for what Jesus is doing through this virtual ministry that's been taking place. And I just want to say something as we begin this morning, that I want to just remind us of the one who's in us, His Holy Spirit. Every one of us are going through unique times, and all of us have some common realities that we're facing in this pandemic. But there are unique circumstances that you are going through that I'm not aware of. And even as I speak this morning from the Word of God, I don't know what you need. But Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need. And so as we go through this time this morning, I'm just praying that you will hear from the Holy Spirit the words that you need to hear, the things that you need to have touching your heart today. I know it's oftentimes preachers will tell you that when they get done preaching, somebody will say, "Boy, I just so appreciated when you said such and such." And you realize, "I never said that." But we know that the Holy Spirit did say something to you. And He's able to do that even in our time together this morning. So we're going to be doing that. We're just going to be trusting the Holy Spirit to do that. I want to thank all of the teachers, the ministry leaders who have provided all the resources online every week for you and for myself, and just take advantage of those things. There's so many. You can get them on imissionchurch.com. You can look there and see the list of different services that are provided for you. We just want to flood our homes with the Word of God and with encouragement every single day. So you can look on there and see that. Also, if you need like a little bit of an outing, you need a field trip in the middle of the week, on Wednesday mornings from 8:30 till 11 o'clock, our cafe here at the Mission is open. And you can drive through. We'll just bring the coffee out to you and hand it to you. You can find a place in the parking lot if you want to with some others that are in their cars and just have a time of visiting together. It's a great outing just to get away from the house and find some really good coffee. Get a latte, get a coffee, get just some of the great stuff that we provide here through our coffee shop. So I encourage you to do that. Also want to let you know that our deeper summer session begins in June, just a few weeks away, and that will be live. We're planning on that being live in the house. It's a smaller group. We can accomplish that. I'm really excited about the subject matter, because it's even what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And the subject matter is the School of the Holy Spirit. You know, years ago, I read a book called, the title was Good Morning, Holy Spirit. When I read that book, I realized that the person in me wants to have a relationship with me. The Holy Spirit is here to be with us, and we can have that intimate relationship with Him on a daily basis and awaken to who He really is and what He wants to accomplish. You know, we often talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all very, very important. But there's the person of the Holy Spirit that we want to really focus on for 8 weeks in our school. And you can sign up for that, imissionchurch.com. And I encourage you to do so. Get in there quick, because we will have to limit the size. So encourage you to be there and participate in that. All right, well, here we are on the ninth Sunday of online-only services. Man, this is it's been quite a thing. This COVID-19 has taken on new meaning for me, because the 19 now refers to the amount of pounds I've gained being at home all the time. You know, the exercise I get from going from my office to the refrigerator and back just doesn't quite overcome the sugar and the poundage that I'm gaining by going to the refrigerator. So it's an interesting time for all of us. But it is a time that I believe we can really gain from, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. The first week of our virtual services, I spoke on three things that we know in this time of uncertainty. You know, there's a lot of things we we have no control over. We don't really know. It's an uncertain time. But there are three things, and we talked about those. Let me just quickly review those. One is this too will pass. This is a time that it's a season. It has a beginning, and it will have an ending. And can you say amen to that? It has an ending. And I believe we're coming close to that time. The second thing is that all things work together for good to those who love God, called according to his purpose. That God has a plan in place, already in place, to make this time serve for our advancement. We don't have to retreat. We can actually advance in this season because all things can work together for good. Third thing is that the eyes of the Lord are looking for those who will stand in faith in this time and will look in a stance of faith toward him so that he can show himself strong on our behalf. He is desiring to show his strength in our weakness and to show his strength in a way that will advance us in this season. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. Because since we know these three things, we can be confident that this season will not defeat us, but it will make us stronger. And this season does not have to be a time of restriction, but it's going to be a time of enlargement. And that as individuals and as a church, his church, we will exit this pandemic with clearer vision, deeper understanding and revelation, and living more powerfully than we've ever lived before. But there's a process to that. And it's that I want to expand on today and partnering with God for a greater tomorrow. But living today in a way that we grow into in our power in the dynamics of the Spirit. How many of you could use a greater, more powerful reality? I think we all could. Reality as parents, as husbands, as wives, as children of God, as growing together in our community. We could use that. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So let's go to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading verse 1. I'm not sure if I'll read the entire passage I have here, but I will refer to several scriptures in it. And it's that passage where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. And you say, what does that have to do with growing stronger in power? Well, I'm going to show you exactly what that has to do. So we read this in verse number 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Then it goes on in these next several verses, and it talks about three different temptations that Jesus was taking through. And because of time, I'm just going to let you look at that yourself. You've probably heard of them before. And then we get down to verse number 13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And we know from other passages, the other gospels, that Jesus was then ministered to by the angels. And then verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So I want us to notice three statements about Jesus in these scriptures that I believe are very significant to our maturing into greater and greater power as a people. The first two are found in verse 1, and the third one is found in verse 14. And it's simply this: we see Jesus as a Spirit-filled man. It says he went from Jordan as one filled with the Spirit. And then the second is Jesus as a Spirit-led man, that it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then in verse 14, it talks about Jesus, a Spirit-empowered man. Now, I believe there's a progression here that's important. Jesus was all God and all man, 100% God, 100% man. And in his humanity, he lived on this planet as a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-empowered man. Jesus limited himself in his deity. It tells us in the scripture that he laid aside his position as God and became the essence of man. So he came into this world and made himself man, and he lived his life as a human being dependent upon the Holy Spirit. So he was a man that was Spirit-filled, led by the Spirit, and he was empowered by the Spirit. And I propose that being Spirit-filled and living by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, leads us to becoming empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about that. Let's look at that. Again, Jesus limited himself to what he could do on this earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. His miracles were performed through the power of the Holy Spirit. He followed after the Holy Spirit. He knew what the Father was doing by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So he followed what the Father was doing because he was being led by the Spirit to see what the Father is doing. And he contained himself in that way so that we would know that we could also live that way. So let's look at this. Let's look at Jesus, the Spirit-filled man. Jesus was very unique in his divinity, obviously. He was all God. And as that, he was absolutely complete and he required nothing. But in his humanity, he grew. He changed. He developed. So we see Luke here referring in this first verse. He talks about Jesus returning from the Jordan. It's significant that he mentions this because he's referring to what just happened in the Jordan with Jesus, and that was that Jesus was baptized in water, and when he came out of the water, the heavens opened, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon him in the as a dove and came upon him. There was something an act that took place in that moment that was different from what it had been before, and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And though it was a singular event that Luke is referring to here, he's also talking about Jesus being filled with the Spirit as a continual, an ongoing event in Jesus' life, an ongoing infilling of the Spirit in Jesus. Now, this is exactly what Paul prayed for us in Ephesians chapter 3, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. We have him in us. Paul's not talking about salvation there. He's talking to Christians. And he's saying those that have been given the Holy Spirit, now it's time to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have this empowerment that comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit in us. And we have the DNA of God in us when we come to Christ. That's placed in us. But he's talking about now it's time for that DNA to fill our very being and to identify who he is in us in every part of our being and filled with his fullness. Not just have his fullness, but be filled with his fullness. We're coming up on Pentecost Sunday. Can't wait. It's going to be exciting. Pentecost Sunday is where we recognize that event, that singular event that took place, that momentary event that took place on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples. It was the fulfillment of God's promise. It was a wonderful, wonderful moment when God fulfilled his promise to come and fill man. But this was not meant to be a singular event. This was meant to be an ongoing reality for every believer, that we are continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we get a little bit more understanding of this when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Verse 18, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation," which simply means don't be overcome with the natural things that don't have any significance, that don't have any meaning to you. That's what the word dissipation means. It just means it's of no value to you whatsoever. So don't be filled with things that are of no value, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the language there that Paul uses is language that says be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not to be a singular event. It's to be something that it's ongoing in our life. He just continues to fill us, and it's our choice to continue to be open to that filling, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on in verse 19 and 20, and he talks about two things. He talks about speaking to one another, and in some of the translations it says speaking to yourselves, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really, really important because this is not just the result of being filled. This is also the process by which we continue to yield ourselves to the Spirit to continue to be filled. It's an inward and an outward expression of worship and praise, that our inner man is always praising. It doesn't mean you always have your earplugs in and you're listening to worship music. It means that you're lined up with him in the Spirit and you continually give praise. And then you live out with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is so powerful and so needed in this time that we live in right now. It's an outward expression and an inward position of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And those are not only the expressions that come out of us when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is also a key to becoming continually filled with the Holy Spirit. As we live that way, that it's like a cycle that begins to take place where we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We begin to worship and praise and become thankful people. And the more we do that, the more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are open to that channel that is necessary to continue to be filled. And I think this is just so important right now, because there's so much negativity out there, isn't there? I mean, so many things. There's political agendas and social agendas and, you know, just things that just want to attract your attention and bring negativity in your life. And if that's what you fill yourself with, then you will lose your thanksgiving. You will lose your praise and worship. But if you fill yourself with praise, worship, and thanksgiving, you will continually be filled with the Spirit of God, and that's what will flow out of you. That's what will dominate your mind and your mindsets. It will dominate your thinking. It will be what you speak out of your mouth to others. And it's just so important that we be filled, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was, and that's what we can be. And secondly, we see that he was a Spirit-led man, a Spirit-led man. Says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The language there is a little unique, because it doesn't mean that he was just simply led into the wilderness, which he was by the Holy Spirit, but it means that he was led while in the wilderness. So he was not only led into, but he was led in the wilderness. So Jesus was led by the Spirit through that entire time. He was listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit. And through all of the temptations that he faced, he was led by the Spirit through those temptations. And I want to talk briefly about these temptations, because it's significant to this point. The temptations, I believe, can be reduced to three desires that Satan had for Jesus. And they all come back to Satan wanting him to operate outside of the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we see this, that in the first one, he wanted him to act as his own source of provision. The second one, he wanted him to get to accomplish his purpose his own way. Jesus had a purpose in coming, and Satan spoke to that purpose and said, here's how you can shortcut that process. And he wanted him to ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit and do it his own way. The third thing is to demonstrate his own will by presuming on the will of the Father. If you throw yourself down, he will not allow your foot to be broken. He will not allow you to be broken. What was he trying to get him to do? To presume on the will of the Father rather than listening and discerning the purposes of God through the Holy Spirit. So this is really important. We can sum all of those temptations up to the temptation to take a shortcut. Take a shortcut out of the circumstance. I think we can all pretty much agree that most of the time we want God to take us out of the circumstances that are negative, that are difficult, don't we? I mean, let's be honest. We would say, God, get us out of this. Why am I in this? We ask the why question. We ask him to release us from that and to go after the people that are a problem and go after the situation. Take us out of that. But what I'm talking about this morning, and what God most often does, is he gives us a way through the circumstances that bring us out of the circumstances eventually in a much greater position than when we went in. And I've discovered something about shortcuts, and I think you probably have too. They're simply not short. They're simply ways that cause me to go around the same mountain again. Every time I've attempted a shortcut in the Spirit, every time I've attempted to shortcut what God wants to take me through, then I find that I have just simply got to go through it again. Years and years ago, I heard somebody say that we go from glory to glory, and in between are the halls of hell. Well, I think it's somewhat true. And the problem with the halls of hell is there are exits that look like shortcuts, that we can take this shortcut and go around all the difficulty we're facing and the struggle we're in, and we can find that next level of glory without going through the halls of hell. But all that does, that shortcut, is simply another hall that leads you right back to the beginning of the hall of hell. So I just encourage you, don't try to find shortcuts in this season. It's not about finding shortcuts. It's about staying in the process that God has you in, being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the enemy will want you to be distracted by everything else. But listen to him. Listen to him. Because this season can be defined simply this: is we can either follow the crowd or we can follow the cloud. We can follow the circumstance and be circumstance-driven, or we can be Spirit-led people, just like Jesus. And the results, my friend, are vastly different. Just ask Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had the promise. They were on the way to the promise. They were in that hall between glory and glory. And they decided in the midst of that to take a shortcut. They decided that they were going to find a way on their own to do the will of God. And they were going to find a way to make this thing happen. And so Sarah offered her handmaiden to Abraham, and they birthed a child in that moment, Ishmael. And Ishmael now has become known as that name, that is that name of a shortcut taken and the result of a shortcut. Because the Bible tells us, I think it's in Galatians, it talks about the fact that the birth that was given by the flesh is still at war with that which was born of the Spirit, who is Isaac. And that still happens in our world today. And so we birth things in this season. We're all pregnant with something. And we're going to birth things. And where that seed comes from is what's important. Is that seed from our flesh, or is that seed from the Spirit? Are we being Spirit-led people in this season? If we're Spirit-led people, we will produce Spirit-led children. And we'll know when this season is over. I worked at a gas station right across the freeway here when I was in high school. And the summer following that high school, that graduating from high school, and I worked on this little Volkswagen. It was a 59 Volkswagen, 36 horsepower engine, really bad paint job on the outside. It was one of those unique 59 Volkswagens because it had air conditioning. The air conditioning were two holes in the floor that let air come through. But it was one of my first cars. I loved that car. I rebuilt the engine, getting ready to go to college, and I spray painted with can spray paint the outside of that car. It didn't look any better when I got done than it did when I started, but it was what I tried. And I took that car on down to college with me, and traveled from here to the great city of Santa Cruz, where the college was, Bible College. And I was attending Bible College there. One day my dad came through, and he was headed up back home, and I was going to take the weekend and go home with him, but I was going to take my car so I could come back after the weekend. And he said, "Well, why don't you follow me? I've got to go through an area, the Bay Area, and make a stop there, and then we'll head on home." I said, "Well, I've never driven home that way, so I don't, you know, I need to follow you." He said, "Yeah, just follow me." So we got on the road, and we got down the road, and it was nighttime, it was dark. The traffic got pretty heavy, it started to rain, and, traffic cuts in and out. My dad was driving a 1968 blue Mustang. And so I was following that blue Mustang, and then cars would cut in and out and in and out, and I'd just keep my eye on that blue Mustang. There was a point at which I lost sight of that blue Mustang and thought, "Oh, I wonder where he is," and I'm weaving a little bit through traffic, and I see that blue Mustang, and I follow it again. And Dad turns off onto a road and pulls into a gas station. I thought, well, I didn't think Dad needed gas, but I'll just wait here for him while he gets it. And expecting my dad to step out of that car and go to the pump, but when the person stepped out of the car, it wasn't my dad. I had followed the wrong blue Mustang because the traffic had gotten crazy. The rain was distracting. All of the things around me were keeping me from keeping my focus on the right blue Mustang. And I realized when I looked at the license plate, it wasn't my dad's car. It was somebody else's car. And this was a day when you didn't have cell phones, so I couldn't just call him. It was the day when you didn't have navigational systems in the car, or you certainly didn't have it on your phone. And so I had to find my way home after that. But it taught me a lesson to really pay attention, not just to the outside things, but pay attention to the license plate. And I think as we go through this season, we need to make sure we're not listening to all the other voices around us. There's going to be a lot of blue Mustangs out there for us to follow. There are political agendas, there are social agendas, again, as I've already mentioned, all those things that are out there for us to follow. And if we don't have our eyes on the license plate, if we don't have our ears tuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit, allow Him to lead. Don't assume that He's leading you. But make sure He's leading you, because you're listening to everything that He has to say, and we follow Him in everything. See, the majority of heaven's instructions come in the form of a thought. He's speaking to us every day, and He doesn't want to push us around. He wants to lead us. And He doesn't even want to lead us like a horse is led with a bridle. He wants to teach us how to respond to the look on His face, the look in His eye, the whisper of His voice, so that we can follow after Him in everything that we do. And the more we respond, I call this walking in the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Just the simple little nudges that we know God is moving us this way and that way by the Holy Spirit. And the more we respond to that nudge, the more sensitive we become to the look in His eye. So the key to living in the Spirit is being led by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit as Jesus was. Be led by the Spirit as Jesus was. And then we come to verse 14, and this is a powerful verse. I don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but it says he went back to where he was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, we come to this place where we have to understand that Jesus developed. In His humanity, He developed. We know that He started as a little baby, didn't know how to speak, didn't know how to walk, couldn't take care of Himself, and He grew as a physical human being. Well, in other dynamics, He did also. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Increase means to increase. It means to change, to advance. He advanced from where he was to where what he was becoming. He was here in his development at this age, and then he grew into a greater development in this age. He went from less to more. We have to understand that about Jesus, because it's important. He did that intentionally so that we would know that we could grow from where we are to where God wants us to be. And there's a growth process. The word stature there is interesting, because it means coming of age. It means he was becoming the person he was intended to be all along in his development. So when Jesus entered the wilderness, he was filled with the Spirit. And then as he walked in this experience, this wilderness experience, he was led through the experience by the Holy Spirit. And he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived through that experience as a Spirit-led man. And the result of that is he came out of the wilderness experience with greater power than when he entered. You see, that can't be. He was all God. Yeah, he was all God. But he laid aside his position as God, took on the form of man, and lived as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. And because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And a new sense of power, a new greater power came upon Jesus after the wilderness experience. So my point is this: what a great opportunity is hidden in this pandemic right now. For those who are willing to be filled with the Spirit, willing to be led by the Spirit, we can come out of this greater in power. And that's even developing in us even now. You know, this thing is changing us. I hope you understand that every one of us are being changed by what we're going through right now. We're changed in our mindsets. We're changed even in our personality, changed in our perspective on life, changed in our relationship and our families, our workplaces, all changing because of what we're going through. And many of the things in this season are out of our control. They just simply are. But the one thing we can determine, how we will walk out of this season, in weakness or in power. Will we be stronger when this is over, or will we be a victim to our circumstances? It really is up to us. Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to so fill us with himself, not just be in us, but be filled with us so that it comes out of us in praise, thanksgiving, and worship? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say one more time, God, today, fill me again with your Holy Spirit. Just pour out more and more and more of your Holy Spirit upon me as I worship you, as I praise you, as I give you thanks, God. Just pour your Spirit upon me. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing then to every day, every moment of every life, allow the nudge of the Holy Spirit to direct our path? Are we willing to let him just say, Dave, I don't want you to say that. I want you to say this. I don't want you to go here. I want you to go there. I want you to live this way and not this way. I want you to experience me in a fresh new way because I want to direct you into greater power. But if you try a shortcut, you're not going to get there. It's going to take a while. And he would rather us not take those shortcuts. How many of you remember WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? The answer is really a lot simpler than we tried to make it in those days when that was popular. And it's simply this: be Spirit-filled, be Spirit-led, and then be Spirit-empowered. It's what Jesus did. He grew in those things. So can we. So where do we start? Well, I just as I said a minute ago, just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me again. Just continue that filling process in my life. Don't allow me. You know, listen, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I just want to pray for you. That you'd be baptized. You'd have that moment when the Holy Spirit comes and explodes inside of you, and his gifts explode and his graces explode in you. And I just pray for that over your life right now. That the gift of tongues, the gift of all the gifts of the Spirit begin to function and flow in you. You gain a heavenly language, all of that. And we see that in Scripture as an ongoing process, an ongoing experience that you can have. And if that hasn't been true for you, I just pray that over you right now. Even as you're sitting in your living room, maybe even sitting in your car right now. If you're driving, pull over. But if you're in your car and you're watching this on your phone, or you're in a outside of a coffee shop because you can't get in, just however you're listening to this right now, I just pray that over you. Just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit baptize you and Jesus in a fresh new way, and let Jesus baptize you with his Spirit. So we start there. But I want to pray over you the prayer of Paul out of Ephesians chapter 3. It probably is my favorite prayer in Scripture outside of what we call the Lord's Prayer, because it just speaks to what everything I've just talked about. And I want to pray this over you as we wrap this up this morning. To be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-empowered people. So this prayer is for you, and it's out of the Amplified Version. And I just ask you to extend your hand towards your television screen, put your hand on your phone, whatever you're doing, your iPad, your computer, and just, you know, listen, I got to tell you that, you know, I grew up in the days of the preacher on television. I remember watching Oral Roberts pray over people, lay his hands on people. Watching that, I said, does that really work? Does that really work? And then he would say, extend your hand towards your television when they would be on TV. And I'm thinking, I'm in my home. He's all the way over there. See, there's no distance problem with God. There just is no distance problem with him. So as I pray, I just extend. It's just a point of contact with my prayer over you this morning. So here we go. I'm going to pray this prayer over you, and I just want you to receive it and accept the power of this prayer, because Paul was praying to believers who he knew wanted a greater reality and a greater powerful position in life. So here we go. For an Amplified Version. For this reason, seeing the greatness of his plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you that are right now listening to this, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. himself dwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses his mere knowledge without experience. And listen to this. Receive this into your spirit, that you may be filled through all your being into all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Let me say that again. You be filled through all your being into all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body filled, wholly filled and flooded with God himself. And Paul wraps up his prayer with the same prayer I have for you. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within you is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it to you right now. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I just invite you. You know, you've been maybe sitting there with your parents, you're sitting there with some friends, and they invited you to watch this service together. I just encourage you right now just to bow your heart on the inside. And just say, Jesus, I'm sensing something. I'm feeling something as this preacher talks this morning. As he's saying these words, you're saying other things to me. I feel it. And I want to know, I want to get to know you. And you just say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. I confess my need of you. And I confess that I want to walk with you from this moment. Just do that right now. And then let the people know around you what you've just done. And they will pray for you and help you walk forward in this season. We're seeing people saved every week all around the world through this pandemic, because Jesus will always give a witness to the people who need him. So now I just want to wrap this up. I want to encourage you to get on the Zoom prayer rooms. They'll be starting right now, and you can get on those. That's on your screen right now, and just connect with those prayer rooms. You want people to pray for you. They're ready, waiting for you to do that. And make sure and take care of all the resources that we have here at the Mission every week on this. And I just encourage you, be ready for the announcement that we will be making. We pray in just a very short time to come and have service right here in our sanctuary together again with all of the things in place to keep you very safe. But be ready for that. Be watching for that. And also check out the Summer Deeper Session. Get on iMissionChurch.com and register for the School of the Holy Spirit that's coming this June. It's just coming in a few weeks, so get registered. We'd love to have you. I love you. I thank you for all your faithfulness in praying for the ministry of the Mission and the ministries around the world. I thank you for being the people you are. Keep being salt and light out there. People need to see your smile. They need to see the radiance of the God that lives within you radiating on them. They are struggling. They are hurting. They are fearful. But you don't have to be. We get to walk in faith in this time and walk in hope and joy. We get to spread that. So please continue to do that. I know that you already are. God bless you, and we'll see you this week in a variety of places, but right back here next Sunday morning. God bless you. Bye-bye.